Good morning. We would like to welcome our radio audience to the sanctuary of Trinity United Methodist Church at 333 South Chestnut Street. If you enjoy our radio ministry and would like to further the building of His kingdom, you can visit our website at www.dev.tumcseymour.org. Our radio sponsor for the day is Sandy Hall. The flowers are from Judy Weekman in honor of Dell's birthday. And our birthdays for this week are Tyler Nicholson on 1221. 1223 is Bill and Margaret Strong's anniversary. And 1225 is Kathy Ashcraft's birthday. We would like to invite you to our Christmas Eve service at 7 p.m. December 24th. For a beautiful candlelight service, again at 333 South Chestnut Street in Seymour. And now we will have special music, the song entitled The Virgin Mary Had a Baby Boy by Jim Paffenberger.
And Mark Smallwood. Hey, that's okay. And we're also known as Proof. Yeah, we're known as Proof.
Proof that only one of us can sing.
Proof that God has a sense of humor. And there proof is that it doesn't take talent to be up here, just the availability through God's calling. But we have selected a song today that we kind of think has an island flavor, do we not, Mark?
Oh, yes.
Yes,
definitely.
Island flavor. In fact, it features the island sound of the Troy St. Nicholson Big Island Band Orchestra. We're especially appreciative of all the guys that run the radio room, but today it's Troy Nicholson, St. Nicholson, and we're really happy that he's doing that. Anybody ever celebrate Christmas any place besides Indiana or the Midwest? You've been to Hawaii? There you go. There you go. You know as well as I do that if you celebrated Christmas in the islands or down south, like in Florida, they know how to do it upright. They don't miss snow. You would think that they would miss snow in the cold weather. They celebrate that birth of Jesus Christ like nobody else. And so I call myself bi-native, bi-nativity. I can be in Florida celebrating Christmas and have peace on earth as much as I can up here. You know that?
Excellent.
So we've got this song we think kind of features an island sound, and we're getting ready to sing it.
Well, I can guarantee you one thing is your discomfort will only last 1 minute and 56 seconds.
Unless you think about it later on.
Virgin Mary had a baby boy. The Virgin Mary had a baby boy. The Virgin Mary had a baby boy, and they said that his name was Jesus. Jesus.
One more time.
The Virgin Mary had a baby boy. The Virgin Mary had a baby boy. The Virgin Mary had a baby boy, and they said that his name was Jesus. Jesus. And unto us a blessed child is born.
A blessed child is born.
And unto us a blessed child is born, and they said that his name was Jesus. Jesus.
He come from the glory.
He come down.
He come from the glorious kingdom
down.
He come from the glory.
He come down.
He come from the glorious kingdom. No need the savior of the world. He will be the savior of the world. He will be the savior of the world. And they said that his name was Jesus. Jesus. He come from the glory.
He come down.
He come from the glorious kingdom
down.
He come from the glory.
He come down.
He come from
the glorious kingdom come.
He come from the glory.
He come down.
He come from the glorious
kingdom come.
He come from the glory.
He come down.
He come from the glorious kingdom. Oh yes, believe it. Oh yes, believe it. Oh yes, believe it. He comes from the glorious kingdom.
Awesome.
That island labor.
Yes. And now we'll have our scripture reading. It's on page 955 in your Pew Bibles, Matthew 1, 18 through 25, followed by the sermon, Being Different, by Pastor Angel Armstrong. And now, Matthew 1, 18 through 25, the birth of Jesus Christ. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
Amen. The word of God for the people of God. Picture it this way. Your teenage daughter comes running in the house, out of breath, and she exclaims, "Mom, Dad, guess what? I was down at the gas station, and all of a sudden, there was this huge angel, and this angel told me that I was going to have a baby. What do you think of that, Mom and Dad?" I don't mean to make light of today's scripture in any way, but if you think about it, tradition says it did go something like that. This might be in our time. Mary was walking towards the well, something that all the young girls did, a chore they did every morning for their families. She was taking her jug to the center of town, to the well, and she would lift the jug up, fill it full of water, and put it on her shoulder and carry it home. But on this day, Matthew tells us that an angel appeared to Mary, telling her that she was going to have a child given to her by the Holy Spirit. We remember this story every year, and we smile as we think of all the gifts that Mary's role has given to us. Mary is held up as the perfect picture of motherhood. She is the symbol of purity and faithfulness as we experience yet another Christmas and celebrate the miracle of the virgin birth. I think it is worth taking just a few minutes to talk about how things really were for Mary, because I can tell you, that she was not always held up as a perfect symbol for motherhood, let alone for purity and faithfulness. To come to this point of honor and praise, she went through a lot. Many of us know what it's like to live in a small town. She lived in a small village. To live in a small neighborhood. I love Tiffany's neighborhood. Everybody in that neighborhood knows each other, watches after each other, talks to each other. There's a Bible study that happens between all the neighbors. It is a perfect example. Everyone knows everyone else. And they know the other people's family background as well. This is a tight-knit community. But within this community, there are expectations. Expectations of the things that members of the community may and may not do. You know, otherwise, there could be ill repute if somebody in a small neighborhood, a small village, or a small town did not hold up to the expectations of that community. You know, it's that kind of place. People will be whispering and talking. These social norms exist because the place is so small that what one person does can affect the entire area. There has to be rules, and these rules have to be enforced. They are not intended to be harsh or cruel, but they are seen as ways to ensure the way of life that the community had created. While it is now a large city, Nazareth used to be a small town when Mary lived there. Perhaps there were 300 people. And I'll guarantee you one thing. The next morning, when she went to take that jug to the well, when she went to get water, there were people whispering. People had their doors open, and you could hear the tsk, 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 tsk. And you could see people's eyes following her every move, because she had shamed the village in their minds. You know, Nazareth sat on top of a hill, and it overlooked so many major events in history, but it is never once mentioned in the Old Testament. The odds are that in this very small town, they did not hang a banner across the street sign saying, "The future home of God's own son." No, they were a little bit more critical of both Mary and Joseph. It reminds me of another small town, another story that Jesus tells and Luke records. We don't know much about the Father or the Son. We don't know what caused the rift between the two of them. We don't know if the Father was a fair and loving and kind man, or if maybe the Son was just plain out rebellious. What we do know is that there was a father who had two sons, and one of the boys came to him and demanded what would be his in the future. You know, that might not seem like a big deal to us today, but in that day, in that place, it was a huge deal. In essence, the boy was saying, "Give me what is coming to me. I want to go and live my life the way I want to live it. And I wish you were dead." By asking to receive his inheritance ahead of time, he was basically saying that he wished his father wasn't alive anymore. He was bringing shame not only upon his family, but upon the entire village. Within a day or two, the boy was packed up. He had all of his belongings, and he headed out the door, down the road, and out the town gate to see what the world had to offer him. And like many of us, it was a little more overwhelming out in the great big world than he had anticipated. He lived large for about 6 months. And then his money started running out. And about that time, a famine struck and jobs were scarce. He finally got a job working for a pig farmer. He was out combing the fields looking for any kernel of grain that was left that he could feed to the pigs. And even they ate better than what he did. All of a sudden, out there feeding those pigs, the young man began to have what I call a come to Jesus moment. He started realizing first that probably his father's servants were being fed and treated better than what he was. No one had offered him anything to eat. He hadn't talked to anyone. It was the picture of loneliness. But then something else happened in the young man. He began to feel what his father must have experienced when he demanded his inheritance. He began to remember that that would cause shame upon his father, upon their family, and upon the village. And he began to pray for a way to ask his father's forgiveness, for a way to try to make things right. And he headed home. Well, now, this is a small area too. So as he was on the road heading home, there were people who saw him heading home. And they hightailed it home before he could, so that they could tell everybody in the town that that boy was coming home. Well, you see, they had this tradition. When such a thing had happened, they all gathered at the town gate. And they brought their children with them because these kids were going to learn a lesson that they would never forget. They were going to see what happened to young people when they shamed their parents, their family, and their village. You see, they were all supposed to meet at the town gate. And then when the boy came up, they would all turn their backs upon him and not talk to him. And when they did turn around, they were going to have a ceremony called the Kizaza, where they took a clay pot full of beans and threw it at the boy's feet. And when it shattered all over the ground, it was illustrating that the relationship between him and his father was shattered as well. And the relationship between him and the townsfolk was shattered. Well, the father heard that the son was on his way home. And he came running up to the town's gate. And at first the people were confused. And then they thought, well, the old man's awfully angry. He wants to throw the clay pot himself. But as the boy started to approach, the old man did something even more shameful. You see, in that day and time, in order for you to run, you had to pull up your robe. You had to hike it up so you could move a little bit more freely. And that meant you were showing your legs in public. And no righteous man would show his legs in public. But this old man did. He hiked up his robe and he went running to meet his son. And his son threw his arms around him and kissed his neck. And the old man accepted his apology, much to the chagrin of the entire town. People started turning their children away and sending them home. They had come prepared for these children to learn a lesson. Well, the old man started hollering out at his servants, "Bring my son the finest robe we have. Bring him one of my rings to put on his finger, and bring him new sandals." And as they walked back through the town gate, he began inviting everyone there to come to a party at his house that night. He said, "We'll even kill the fatted calf and everything." Well, we don't know how many of those villagers actually went to the party. But the older son started heading back from his long day of work, and he began to hear music and dancing. And he wondered what was going on. He asked one of the servants, "What's going on?" And the servant told him, "Your brother has returned, and your father has killed the fatted calf and is having a party." Oh, that just set him off. He was fuming. So he marched up to the house, but he wouldn't go in. He refused to go in. He stood there with some of the angry villagers who were upset about the shame that was being created here. His father came out and begged him, "Please, please come in. Welcome your brother back home. He has been through enough." The brother said, "He has shamed this family and this village. The entire time I'm here working to support our family, to take care of our village. And he goes out and squanders all of your hard-earned money on an unclean life. And then, what do? You turn around, welcome him home, throw a party, and the fatted calf? You've never so much as even served up a goat for me and my friends. What is the matter with you?" And that's about where Luke leaves this story. But I can tell you what was real likely to happen next. It's real likely that the older brother looked around on the ground for a large rock and threw it at his father. And the other villagers did the same until they stoned the old man to death. And then they went looking for the younger son, and they did the same thing to him. And then the older brother cried out with relief because he had removed the shame from his family and from his village. Let me tell you, Mary faced the very same thing. She had shamed her family. She had shamed her village. She had shamed her betrothed. Now, that was a super engagement. They weren't yet man and wife. They were not allowed to have a union. They were not allowed to live together. But if Joseph were to die, she would be viewed as a widow. And already, both of the families were connected. It is quite likely that Joseph could have done the same thing to Mary. He could have picked up a rock and thrown it at her, and her family would have to follow suit. And she could have been stoned to death. At the very least, Joseph could have beaten her severely and then sent her out into the wilderness to be shamed and left alone for the rest of her life, to be a beggar, or worse. But Joseph chose not to do that. We know very little about Joseph. I have to wonder, how did Joseph feel when the angel came to him and reassured him that what Mary had told him was the truth, that she was indeed pregnant with the Spirit's child. I have to wonder, was he relieved? Or was he still stinging from the shame that had been brought upon him? Joseph chose to do the right thing and to honor Mary. And somehow the two of them stood side by side, standing there, overcoming the old law, which was powerful indeed in that time. Overcoming everybody's whispers and heckles and tisk, tisk, tisk. Overcoming the shame that was poured down upon their family. And let me tell you, I have no doubt that the families made sure that they both felt it. But they stood side by side knowing that they were doing something different, something better. They were going to bring the holy infant into this world. As we go through our week leading up to Christmas, as we meet all of the people that God puts in our path this week, let us remember to be different ourselves. Let us remember to have the courage of this young couple in Nazareth. Let us remember to focus only upon God. Remember that our role is not to determine the value of other people. Our role is not to judge other people. Our role is to love our God with all our heart, all our mind, all our strength, everything we have, and to love His people in like manner. Our role is to give generously, to encourage faithfully. Our role is to point other people to the miracle of the virgin birth. Our role is to remember why the Christ child came, who he grew up to be. On Christmas Eve, we're going to have a song, From the Manger to the Cross. I can't think of just the infant without thinking of the cross. Knowing full well that Jesus Christ came, the one and only Son of the Father God, was sacrificed. He came that he might feel and experience everything that we experience in life. And then, so that he could take the sin of the world upon himself. Our role is to ask Jesus to help us to love others as he loves others. Not just our family, not just people who believe like we do, but all people. That is the gift that Mary has brought to us. Please enjoy this wonderful Advent song.
Hopelessness is found, we pray for peace. When violence abounds, we thirst for joy. Lift our heavy hearts, we wait for love to shine out in the dark. Then unto us a son is given, unto us a child is born. Unto us a King, Prince of Peace, our mighty God is come, bringing hope and peace and joy and love. The child of hope and peace and joy and that never fades, we pray for you. To let your peace prevail, we thirst for you. Oh, joy of heaven, come, we wait for you. Christ Jesus, Lord of love, and unto us a son is given, unto us a child is born. Unto us a King, Prince of Peace, our mighty God is come, bringing hope and peace and joy and love. Child of hope and peace and joy and love. Oh, and we see a star shine bright, we find your peace. In a still and silent night, we search for joy. And we hear the angels sing, we find your love. Blessed Christ, the newborn King, unto us a son is given, unto us a child is born. Unto us a King, Prince of Peace, our mighty God is come, bringing hope and peace and joy and love. Child of hope and peace and joy and love, bringing hope and peace and joy and love. Child of hope and peace.